Welcome to the Tech Policy Podcast. I'm Evan Schwartztrauber. On today's show, Chicago cracks down on Airbnb and other home sharing platforms. What's going on in Chicago? Is there a legal battle that will result from this law? Is there anyone doing anything about this? Well, joining me to discuss this is someone who is doing something about this. Christina Sandifer is the Executive Vice President of the Goldwater Institute. It's a group based in Arizona, but the Goldwater Institute has been a leader nationwide in terms of regulating home sharing platforms in a smart way that doesn't result in lawsuits and big fights. And this policy is something they've tried to get other states and cities to adopt. Christina, thanks so much for joining the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Evan.
So give us a quick recap of what went on in Chicago and what's the current state of play.
Sure. Well, unfortunately, Chicago has followed in the footsteps of many other cities nationwide in severely regulating the practice of home sharing. Now, that sounds like sort of a new practice, something that is associated with the cutting-edge sharing economy. But actually, it's a centuries-old American tradition. It's simply people opening up their homes and allowing overnight guests to stay there. Sometimes people do that for pay. Sometimes they do it in exchange for meals or chores. But at the end of the day, it's just people allowing someone to stay in their private home. All that's happened today is that the internet has enabled homeowners and travelers to connect in ways that have never really happened before. In essence, they've made the practice more efficient. And of course, as we see, when a practice becomes more efficient, then regulators seem to be in the mindset that they have to do something to crack down on it. And that is exactly what happened in Chicago. Chicago just recently, this past summer, passed a 58-page ordinance that, I will tell you, Evan, is incomprehensible even to an attorney. It has all sorts of rules and regulations that homeowners have to follow if they want to share their homes on an online platform like Airbnb or HomeAway. And it imposes some really, really draconian regulations on them. Everything from...
So if you're a homeowner in Chicago before June, I'm assuming that everything was fine, that people were able to use Airbnb and platforms like HomeAway to gain extra income and help people maybe deal with the expensive housing in Chicago.
Absolutely.
Now, what does a homeowner have to go through under this new regime in order to rent their home?
It's really quite remarkable what a homeowner has to go through now that this ordinance has been passed. First of all, they have to register with the city. The homeowner actually has to determine which of several categories they fall into, whether they're considered a vacation rental or some other sort of home sharing entity. And again, it's so complicated that it's not even worth discussing here because no attorney could even figure out what category somebody falls into. But once a homeowner decides how to register their home, then they have to pay a 4% tax that applies just to home sharing. It does not apply to hotels. It doesn't apply to bed and breakfast, just to home sharing. So it's quite discriminatory. And then they have to follow a host of other regulations, including, and you can't make this up, a regulation that says that city inspectors can search any home sharer's property without a warrant, without a reason, for any reason or no reason at all, at any time they want and in any manner. So in other words, if I want to offer my home for rent on Airbnb, and a city inspector can show up at my door in the middle of the night, even if I'm the one occupying my home, can knock on the door, can demand to come in, doesn't have to give me a reason for why they're there. And if I refuse, I can be fined thousands of dollars and I can lose my right to share my home.
You know, I'm too young to remember this, but apparently at some point in American history, there was a war fought over this notion that the government can just come into your home at any time without a warrant. Maybe it was something like British soldiers were using Americans' homes just for whatever purpose they wanted. I know 200 and something years is a long time, but how quickly we forget the values that our nation was founded on, and how quickly we forget that Airbnb did not invent property rights. I mean, you made such an important point that this idea of sharing your home or renting your home, this did not come about because of the internet. All it is an efficiency mechanism. And am I correct in saying that you'd only get that 4% tax if you're using the internet? You know, if I rent my home through word of mouth, who the hell is going to be able to know? And is anyone going to collect the tax? I mean, you use the word discriminatory. Is this really just straight up discrimination against people who use the internet?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And think about it. Nothing has changed in the underlying action. I have always had the property right to be able to allow overnight guests to stay in my home. And frankly, I don't think it's very controversial to most people that I should be able to decide whether or not to let someone stay in my home. But suddenly, by using the internet to communicate this, to make an offer to a traveler, of course, this is essentially just pure speech. I'm only communicating information. Suddenly, to the city of Chicago, that has transformed this action, and now I can be taxed. Now my privacy rights can be violated. So really, you know, while the city is violating my private property rights, it's really violating a host of other rights. My privacy rights, my right to be treated equally under the law. And so it's a double punishment.
And this issue of privacy you bring up is an important one, because under this law, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not a lawyer, and I know you said that even for a lawyer, this is a tough one, but home sharers are obliged to collect their guests' personal information. We're talking home address, signatures, dates they visited, right? This is very personal information in the hands of the government, because city officials can at any point, without a warrant, without a legitimate reason, ask those who've bothered to go through this absurd registration process to become a host on Airbnb or any other website that provides a similar function. Is the city protecting this information? Is there a secure database? I mean, how can people be sure that this very sensitive information is going to be protected? We've seen a rash of cybersecurity breaches at big companies like Sony, but it's also at the government. The federal government got hacked. The CIA director had his freaking personal email hacked. I mean, do we really trust the city of Chicago to be more secure than the federal government? Should people be concerned that their information will be mishandled and divulged?
I think people should absolutely be concerned, because the answer to your question about whether or not this information would be secure is we don't know. In that 58-page ordinance, there's nothing in there about what the government can and cannot do with the information that it demands about its guests. Of course, there's nothing in there about security protocols or anything like that. And really, it's not just a concern about the how well this information will be protected, but there's also a privacy concern about whether or not the government should even be able to demand this information without a warrant or a good reason to begin with. The Supreme Court actually just last year struck down a similar ordinance in Los Angeles. The city of Los Angeles was requiring hotels to keep registries with their guests' information, and it said that its city officials could come to the hotels at any time and demand that information. And the Supreme Court said, absolutely not. If there is no standard by which government has to follow, no kind of pre-enforcement review, no warrant requirement, if the government can just come in and demand the personal information of hotel guests at any time, then there's really a high risk of harassment, that city officials are going to use this to harass businesses like hotels and their guests for any reason or no reason at all. Well, my gosh, if the United States Supreme Court says that cities can't do this to hotels, then they certainly shouldn't be able to do it to private homeowners who are simply opening up their homes to overnight guests.
We've seen home sharing regulations all over the country, in cities, in states. To date, it hasn't really become a federal issue, but really the Chicago ordinance stands out. In some ways, it's even more draconian than the law that was recently passed in New York. And listeners have to be wondering why, right? I mean, if we think of the sharing economy as generally good, it helps people afford their homes, it helps people make money off of assets they already own. In cities with really high rent, it can be a benefit in helping to pay that high rent. So there's all these benefits that the companies and free market groups like Tech Freedom and the Goldwater Institute, we love to talk about the benefits of the sharing economy. But clearly, there are at least a lot of people, and they were at least loud enough to get this law passed. What is driving this? What is the problem that the city council is trying to solve?
Well, it's a good question. And I think there are a couple answers here. One is, unfortunately, there are established interests, namely hotels, your typical brick and mortar establishments, that don't really like the competition that home sharing provides. Now, if you look at the statistics, home sharing is really not necessarily giving hotels a run for their money. What it's doing, as you've mentioned before, is opening up the market, a market that has already been there for decades, but opening it up to offer consumers and travelers other options. Sometimes families want to travel and they don't want to stay in a hotel. They can't afford to stay in a hotel and go out to dinner every night. And so this provides an option for them. Sometimes people really want to live like a local and stay in areas where hotels aren't located and patronize local businesses. And so those are the types of options that home sharing allows. Nevertheless, hotels, which are regulated and for a long time were really the dominant ones in the market, have seen home sharing become more and more popular. We hear that today Airbnb offers more rooms on its website than major hotel chains like the Marriott. And so often we see them advocating to put these types of regulations in place and scare people away from sharing their homes to keep out competition. Another reason that
was... So that's not exactly a very sympathetic argument for the average person, right? I mean, it makes perfect sense that a industry that has long been insulated from competition just because it's difficult for people to maybe rent their home, Airbnb's made it a lot easier, but who cares, right? I mean, the average Chicagoan doesn't go, oh, the poor hotel industry, I feel so bad for them, right? So what's getting average people riled up about this? I mean, we've seen in New York, is it just NIMBYism? Is it that Chicagoans don't want to see a bunch of 20-somethings roaming around their neighborhood with suitcases? I mean, is that it? Or what's getting the average person to contact their lawmaker and say, yes, go ahead, pass this bill? Because I have a hard time believing that the hotels are such a sympathetic character in this story that people would side with them if it's just a battle between corporations.
Well, I think there's a couple of things. One, I do think the special interests, like the hotels, do drive a lot of this legislation behind the scenes. And of course, that's a lesson in the importance of property rights in and of itself. Property rights, sometimes people think, well, property rights are just tools of the wealthy and the well-connected. But in fact, property rights are essential to people who aren't wealthy and don't have political connections and need those constitutional protections to protect their rights against special interests. But there is more to the story here. You're right, Evan. I think some of these laws have been driven by a massive misunderstanding and misinformation campaign. I think there are people who understandably are concerned about their neighborhoods. They don't want the house next door to turn into a party house with a whole bunch of noisy kids staying overnight and renting on Airbnb. They're worried about potential traffic congestion, people parking in the wrong place, people ignoring local ordinances like when to put your trash out on the sidewalk, and that sort of thing. Perfectly understandable concerns. And of course, we believe in a limited government, but government does exist to keep neighborhoods clean and safe. But there are already laws on the books that deal with these very things. And in fact, home sharing doesn't really exacerbate these problems. People can misbehave and have noisy, rowdy guests over, regardless of whether they're renting on Airbnb. This is something that ordinances already on the books can deal with. Cities don't outlaw backyard barbecues just because some of them might get noisy or people might park on the street and cause traffic congestion. Instead, they enforce the ordinances on the books. And that's exactly what should happen here. Cities have the tools they need to address noisy neighbors, to address security concerns, to address traffic problems and trash and the like. So what's happened here is because government really has such a disrespect for property rights now. They don't see property rights as rights. They see them as privileges that government gives to us. They're really painting these broad brush regulations and saying, you know, because there is a risk that there may be a few bad actors if we allow people to rent their homes out on Airbnb or HomeAway, we're just going to prohibit the activity altogether. Instead, what government should do is presume that people are free to use their property as they see fit. And if there are occasional bad actors, they should enforce the nuisance ordinances that are already on the books.
So assuming that the Chicago City Council didn't hear all of those very sensible arguments and change their minds, what's the course of action here, right? Because the law went into effect in June. People's property rights are already being violated, and this is preventing them from earning extra income, and it's probably impacting a lot of lives. So what is being done about this? I mean, you're not going to take this down, right?
Well, in fact, we are going to take this down. The Goldwater Institute is...
Lying down is what I meant to say. You're not going to take this lying down.
We're not going to take it lying down. We're going to take it down. No, absolutely not. There are a lot of homeowners whose lives have been affected and countless travelers and consumers as well. So we are actually going to court. The Goldwater Institute has partnered with our friends at the Liberty Justice Center in Chicago. And we have filed a lawsuit in Illinois state court challenging this ordinance. We are challenging the tax on home sharing because it's discriminatory and it targets home sharing unfairly. We're targeting a variety of very vague regulations, things that tell homeowners that they could lose their license and their right to rent out their home if noises in their home exceed, quote, average conversational level. End quote. Of course,
what does that even mean?
No one knows what that means. There's no definition in the ordinance. And what it means is whatever the bureaucrat in charge says it means. So you could literally lose your property right to rent out your home if some bureaucrat says that noises have exceeded average conversational level. I mean, this could be something like a baby crying in your home one time, and you could lose your rights to rent out your home. So we're challenging that because the Constitution says that government can't apply vague laws in order to discriminate against people. It has to be very clear if it's going to hold you accountable for certain behaviors. It has to be very clear about what it means. And then, of course, we're challenging these egregious privacy violations, the requirement that home sharers allow inspectors in their home without a warrant at any time, the requirement that home sharers gather personal information about their guests and turn it over to the government whenever the government asks for it. That is so clearly out of line, not only with the Fourth Amendment in the federal constitution, but also with Illinois' state constitution, which has its own protection for privacies and says that people are secure in their own private information. So we are asking the Illinois State Trial Court to immediately enjoin this, to protect people's privacy rights and to force the city to go back to the drawing board and craft something that, if it's concerned about health and safety issues, craft something that makes a lot more sense and targets actual problems rather than hypothetical problems and violating people's rights.
And this is not a binary choice between regulate Airbnb or don't regulate at all, right? I mean, there are options in between draconian crackdown in Chicago and just completely leaving them up to their own devices.
Absolutely.
So the Goldwater Institute was instrumental in getting good reform done in Arizona. Can you talk a little bit about that policy just briefly and how it could help Chicago and Illinois deal with this problem?
Sure. You know, Arizona has long had a healthy respect for property rights. And yet, even in Arizona, we started to see some problems like this as cities would unfairly crack down on people who wanted to rent out their homes. And so we helped work on a piece of legislation that became state legislation. It was signed into law earlier this year. And what that law says, it's quite simple. It says that cities cannot ban home sharing. They can't pass regulations that unfairly target home sharing. Instead, they have to deal with any potential problems by enforcing ordinances that are either already on the books or that target problems, no matter whether or not they're coming from home sharing or other residential uses of property. So again, the things we were talking about before, cities can enforce nuisance ordinances. They can even require, if they want, people to get business licenses if they're going to earn income, if that makes it easier for people to pay taxes to the city or to the state. But cities are not permitted in the state of Arizona to outlaw home sharing just because somebody wants to use a platform like Airbnb or HomeAway. They're not permitted to draw arbitrary lines and say that when somebody wants to rent out their home for 30 days, it's acceptable. But when they rent out their home for, or it's not acceptable, but when they rent out their home for 31 days, then it suddenly is acceptable. And they can't tax home sharing at a different rate than they do other types of rentals. So it's a very simple law, but it's really had a great impact here in Arizona. Arizona, like many states, sees a lot of tourism. And there are so many other options available to consumers here in Arizona besides hotels. Arizona has simply said, treat everybody equally. Arizona is open for business. Of course, we're going to regulate when there are problems, but we're not going to regulate unfairly.
And if people are wondering whether Airbnb actually helps Chicagoans, I mean, you've made a very good case that it doesn't hurt them, but listeners might be saying, well, I mean, does it help? Why should I care? Why should I be going to bat for, you know, a bunch of rich websites? Well, recently, Airbnb reported that people who rented out their homes during the World Series games in Chicago made $2.6 million. Now, we're not going to be expecting the Super Bowl to be held in Chicago anytime soon because the Bears are terrible and it's a neutral location anyway for the Super Bowl. But can you just talk a little bit about the economic impact of this law in Chicago and why folks should care about this?
Oh, yeah. The economic impact for homeowners, for communities, for consumers, it really can't be overestimated. As you mentioned, homeowners are able to make extra income. And in some instances, allowing people to rent out their homes on Airbnb or HomeAway makes a difference between whether or not homeowners can stay in their homes. As we know, mortgage payments can be difficult. Sometimes people lose their jobs. Sometimes people have extra financial responsibilities that they have to take on. And time again, people have said that being able to rent out their home, even just occasionally on the occasional weekend, has brought in that extra income to help them pay the mortgage and to help them earn a little bit of extra money to pay some bills and stay in their homes. It's also really, really good for local economies because a lot of times when people come and stay in hotels, they eat in the hotel, they stay around the downtown area. But when people rent out private homes on Airbnb or HomeAway, they're more inclined to live like a local. They're more inclined to patronize local businesses. And often they get tips from people who own those homes to patronize local businesses. So it pumps extra money into the economy, the local economies. It enables homeowners to make extra money, and it saves travelers money. It gives them more choices and oftentimes presents options that are a lot more affordable. So more people are able to see the world and to experience other communities that they otherwise wouldn't have visited. And it's a real shame. And of course, in a lot of cities, there's also a tax benefit for the government to the extent that they're taxing the revenue and the activity. And so it really makes no sense for a city or a state to bite the hand that feeds it and to cut off these economic opportunities for homeowners and for communities.
So to wrap up the show, what's the status of the lawsuit and where can people find out more information about the case?
The lawsuit was just filed in state court in November, and so the status is we're asking the court for an immediate injunction to put a hold on some of the more egregious violations of rights. We should hopefully hear back in the next month or so as to what the court is going to do there, and then, of course, the case will progress. People can find out more about the Chicago case, about the Arizona law, and about our other work to protect home sharing on goldwaterinstitute.org. They can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook.
Well, that's so great. And thank you for the work you're doing. And I'm sure a lot of homeowners in Chicago appreciate it. My guest has been Christina Sandifer, Executive Vice President of the Goldwater Institute. Christina, thanks for joining the show.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Let us know what you think of the show. Send us an email at media@techfreedom.org. Find this podcast in the iTunes store. Please leave us a review because it will help others find the show. Thanks for listening.
Tech Policy Podcast is produced and distributed by Tech Freedom, a nonpartisan, nonprofit think tank in Washington, D.C. To learn more about our work, make a tax-deductible donation, or find other episodes, find us online at techfreedom.org.